Welcome to Chapter 26 on Numbers and Interrogatives. Last chapter we finished up the verbs. We finished the indicative verbs with all the tenses from the present to the pluperfect. We've also worked with the moods, the imperative and the subjunctive, as well as the indicative. Picked up the infinitives and wrestled with the participles. We've mastered the omega verbs, the contract verbs, and in the last chapter we finished off the me verbs. So in this chapter we're going to tie up some loose ends here. With the numbers, we'll learn how to count to 10 in Greek, which is a good thing. And then the interrogatives, how to ask questions. We'll also put in some loose ends of this indefinite pronouns, and also include the possessive adjectives. So this is going to kind of be a loose ends chapter, and we've got a lot of the major parts down already. But you can count on this chapter to help you further down the road of mastering Greek. So let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. Say this first part of the Lord's Prayer with me.
Pater heimon ho en tois uranois hagias theto to onomasu. Altheto he basileia su genetheto to thalema su.
And now the second part.
Hos en urano kai epiges. Ton ar ton, he mon ton, epiusion dos he min se meron.
And say this third part of the Lord's Prayer with me.
Kai aphis he min, ta ophe lema ta he mon. Hos kai he mesa feca mentoiso fe letais he mon.
And now the final section.
Kai me eisen nen kes hemas eis peras mon, ala rusai hemas apo tu pone ru.
There are six types of pronouns, many of which we've worked with already. Just want to go back and a quick review here. We had the personal pronouns, the ego, mumoime, the su for you, and the
autos
for he, she, it. Those are the personal pronouns. We also had the demonstrative pronouns, the this and that, proximity kind of pronouns.
Hutos.
And
ekanos.
This and that. We've looked briefly at the reciprocal pronoun, alelon. That's one another, back and forth, reciprocal pronoun. And then also the relative pronouns, many of which look a little bit like the article, but because of the accent, we distinguish them, and those are
hos, he, ho.
And those are the who and the which, relative pronouns. Earlier, we looked briefly at the reflexive pronouns, myself, yourself, these just occurring in the oblique cases, the genitive, dative, accusative cases, and they're emautu, seautu, and heautu, of myself, of yourself, and of he, she, it, or herself. In this chapter, we want to add to this the indefinite pronoun.
Tis
and T, someone or anyone. Before we jump into the indefinite pronouns, I'd like to shoot in four of these possessive adjectives. And they are
emos,
which is translated my, and
sos,
which is translated your. In the plural, the forms are
hemeteros,
our, or
humeteros,
your. You can kind of see the hemes and humes distinction there. And these are used then, these forms here, are used instead of the genitive case of the personal pronouns. Instead of the mu and the su, you use the
emos
and
sos
in the nominative case to replace the genitive case of the mu, mu, omicron, upsilon, and su, sigma, omicron, upsilon. An example of this can be found in John 17:17.
Hagiason
autus en te aletheia
hologos hosos aletheia
esten. And it's translated sanctify
hagiason.
The imperative form there, sanctify, you sanctify them autus in the truth en te aletheia. Your word.
Hologos hosos.
And there's our possessive adjective there. Your word. A lot of times we would have thought something like
hologos su.
Your word. But here it's
hologos hosos.
Your word is truth. Great verse. So this just gives us some idea of four alternative ways of doing the possessive, using the possessive adjective rather than the personal pronoun. The indefinite pronouns give us the translation someone or something or anyone, anything, the kind of whatever pronoun. And they are
t's.
They decline as follows. You've got the
t's. Tinos, tini, tina.
You'll notice that the nominative form does not take the accent. And actually, the accent occurs on the ultima for the others. Now, the placement of the accent is going to be really important with these. The neuter forms, that's for the masculine and feminine, the neuter form is
ti, tinos, tini, ti.
And so you see the genitive and dative are exactly the same in the masculine, feminine, and neuter forms. And the T in the nominative and accusative matches in the neuter as we're used to. But you'll notice that the single syllable indefinite pronoun does not take the accent. And when it is accented on the double syllable indefinite pronouns, it's accented on the final or ultima syllable. And even when you have two syllables, if the word preceding it has an accent on the ultima, the accent is dropped even on the second syllable of the
tinos, tini.
So a lot of times this form does not take the accent. It's an enclitic. And even sometimes when there's two syllables, it doesn't take the accent if the word preceding it has an accent on the ultima. But sometimes it does take an accent, and it's significant that that accent is on the ultima, or the last syllable. There's a reason why I'm making a big deal over the accent and the lack of the accent and the placement on the ultima, because there's going to be another form when we get to the interrogatives that's going to be exactly the same form that's going to place the accent differently, and that's going to be the only difference. So, indefinite pronoun, no accent on the
T's, T.
Or if it is accented, it is accented on the ultima. Now the indefinite pronouns, the plural forms, are the nominative masculine feminine,
Tines, Tinon, Tisi, Tinas.
The neuter forms are
Tina, Tinon, Tisi, Tina.
Noticing again the nominative accusative exactly the same, the genitive and dative matching exactly the masculine feminine forms from the neuter. Now here's an example of the use of the indefinite pronoun. Kai
apostelousin pros auton.
Tinas ton pharisaion. And they sent
apostelousin.
They sent to him.
Pros auton. Tinas.
Now you'll notice that
tinas
there is our indefinite pronoun, some, but it does not take the accent because the preceding word
auton
has an accent on the ultima, and therefore the accent slides off the
tinas
form. Some of the Pharisees, pharisaion. So just the use of this indefinite pronoun, someone, something, anything, anyone. Here are six ways to ask a question in Greek. We haven't dealt too much with the interrogatives yet, but here are six interrogatives that will get you started in terms of how questions are asked in Greek. The first word is
pote,
and it means when. Pu means where. The third interrogative is pos, and it means how. And the fourth one, and you'll notice how tricky this one is compared to the indefinite pronouns that we just looked at, is
tis,
who, which, or what. And you'll notice that it takes the accent mark, whereas the indefinite pronoun did not have the accent on the single syllable. So this is going to be, the accent is the only difference between the
tis,
indefinite pronoun and this interrogative. If you want to ask why, you say diati. Or sometimes you can just use T flat up for why. So these are six ways to ask questions. And you'll notice that the question is marked by the English, what looks like a semicolon, in Greek, which is their question mark. Now the interrogative pronoun
tis,
who, which, or what. Note that there is an accent on this one, and here's a quick declension of this form. In the masculine feminine, the nominative is
tis,
genitive is
tinos,
dative is
tini,
and accusative is
tina.
You'll notice that the accent falls on the first syllable when there are two syllables, as opposed to the indefinite pronoun, which has it on the second syllable, on the ultima. So the placement, if it's on the penult, is an interrogative question marker, and if it's on the ultima, then it's the indefinite pronoun. The neuter goes
ti, tinos, tini, ti.
Nominative accusative is the same, genitive and dative exactly matching the masculine feminine forms. So it's accented on the first syllable, and it is always accented, as opposed to the indefinite pronoun, which is not accented a lot, and if it is accented, it's accented on the ultima. Just trying to make this distinction, so to distinguish the indefinite pronoun from the interrogative pronoun. Two totally separate meanings, distinguished only by where the accent is placed. Here are the plural forms of the interrogative pronoun. You'll notice once again the accent on the penult, not the ultima.
Tinas, tinon, tisi, tinas.
For the masculine feminine forms. The neuter forms are
tina, tinon, tisi, tina.
Nominative accusative exactly the same, genitive and dative matching the masculine feminine. Here's an example of a couple questions using this interrogative pronoun. Ti phagomen, a ti piomen. The first question is, what shall we eat? Phagomen is actually the aorist form of
astio.
And ti piomen is what shall we drink from
pino.
The new got dropped out, and what shall we drink, using the subjunctive mood there. So you see in both cases the T takes the accent, so we know it's not an indefinite pronoun. Someone eats or someone drinks. All right, let's jump into the Greek number system. There are basically two types of numbers that we should be aware of. There are the cardinal numbers, which are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then there are the ordinal numbers, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, etc. The ordinal numbers tell the order, 1st or 2nd or 3rd, whereas the cardinal numbers just simply count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So examples of the Greek ordinals are
Protos aeon,
which means first.
Deuteros aeon
means second. You can see like Deuteronomy. Deutero, second.
Nomos,
law. Deuteronomy, second law. Repeats, basically goes back over what was done in the first four books of the Pentateuch. Pentateuch, by the way, penta, five, teuch, books. You learn Greek, you learn everything.
Tritos aeon
is third. And so we have first, second, and third, and those are the ones that are used very frequently in terms of these ordinal numbers, first, second, and third. Okay, now we learn how to count to 10 in Greek. These are the cardinal numbers, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 type, as opposed to the ordinal, which was 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Number 1 is hais. Number 2 is
duo,
the dynamic
duo.
Tres is 3. Tesseres is 4. And penta is 5, like pentagon or pentateuch, 5. Coming down on the next side, we have hex, which means 6, hexagon, hepta, which means 7,
octo,
which means 8, an octagon, enea means 9, and deca means 10. So let's run through these a couple, three times, just to learn how to count to 10.
Hais, duo, tres, tesseres, penta, hex, hepta, octo, enea, deca.
Let's try it a second time here.
Hais, duo, tres, tesseres, penta, hex, hepta, octo, enea, deca.
And one final time.
Hais, duo, tres, tesseres, penta, hex, hepta, octo, enea, deca.
And so now we can count to 10 in Greek. Now, sometimes, quite a few times, we've got to go higher than 10. And I want you to learn the 1 to 10 just how to count. It's just kind of out of respect to Greek. You should know how to count to 10 in a language you're learning. Several other numbers that are important for us are dodeca, and that is 12. We've got 12 apostles. We've got 12 tribes of Israel. Got all sorts of 12s running around. So dodeca, you can kind of see the
duo
plus the deca, 10 for the deca.
Duo.
Plus the, so it makes 12.
Hecaton
means 100. And
kilioi,
I-ah, means 1,000. And so we'll have the 1,000-year reign of Christ in Revelation. Christ feeding the 5,000, etc. like that. So 1,000 is used quite frequently. Let's just run through the teens then and then the 10, 20, 30s, because that'll tell us how to put the in-between numbers together. Hendeca is 11. Hen will be 1, deca is 10. Dodeca, as we said, was 12. Do with a
duo.
2 plus 10 is 12.
Triskaideca.
And here you see tris, 3, chi, and deca, 10, becomes 13. Decatesseres is the deca form 10 plus tesseres, 4. And deca penta is deca plus penta, 10 plus 5 is 15, and then it goes up from there. Now, to count by tens, we have
ekosi,
which is just a weird form, simply means 20.
Triakonta
is 30. You can see 3, and then
konta
will be our like 10 by 10, so it'll be 3 tens is 30.
Tesserakonto
is 40. We have our tessera, 4, and then
konta,
40. And then
pentakonta
is 50, 5 from the penta, and then the conta, 50. So that's basically how we put the other numbers together. And these aren't going to be all that frequent, but you just need to be aware of how to count to 10, 12, 100, 1,000, how the teens are constructed, and how you count by tens a little bit. One other paradigm that is a number that you should be aware of, because it can be pretty tricky, actually, is the paradigm for the number 1. And so in the masculine nominative, it's heis. And you got to be real careful that you see it's heis, not ace, the preposition into. And so be careful of the rough breathing there being heis, being the masculine nominative for 1. The genitive form is
henos.
The dative form is
heni.
And the accusative form is henna. The feminine comes at mia, and then mias, mia, mian. And so you have the a, as, a, an endings that give you the nominative, genitive, dative, accusative. So that's not too bad. You just got to remember that mia is 1 in the feminine. So the neuter is also trouble. It looks like hen, which also can look like the preposition en if you're not careful. The preposition en means in, and this is the Greek word for 1 is hen with the rough breathing. So it's hen,
henos, heni.
You see those exactly match the masculine forms, and then back to hen in the accusative. So the nominative and accusative are the same. So just be aware of this. I kind of remember this as chase me a hen, haste me a hen, has given you the forms across the top, and then you just decline them coming down from the haste me a hen. So chase me a hen or haste me a hen gives you the masculine, feminine, and neuter places to start with the number 1, which is used pretty frequently. Now, where are those plural forms? Oh, that's right. This is only a singular because it's the word 1. Pretty hard to make a plural out of that. Now for an example, we have korousai ana metretas
duo
a tres. And this is holding 2 or 3 measures each, ana each. And we have our
duo
a tres, 2 or 3. Example in John 2, Jesus making the water into wine. The vocabulary for chapter 26. The first word is haotu ace, and it means of himself, herself, or itself. The second word is
emos aon,
and it means my or mine. The third word is
himation,
and it means garment. The fourth word is nux, and it means night. The fifth word is
hostis hastis hoti,
and it means whoever or whatever. The sixth word is poo, and it means where. The seventh word is
proskuneo,
and it means I worship. The eighth word is
tisti,
and it means someone or something. The ninth word is
tisti,
with the accent, and it's the interrogative who, which, or what. And the tenth word is hoda, and it means here or hither.